Have you ever heard from God and shared it with another person and had them get angry? I have. It was a terrible shock. My own side, my own team, my own household got angry at me when I gave them that word. I didn't expect that. That's what the word does. It divides us from unbelievers. It divides us from the people who aren't quite there yet. John 7:43. So there was a division among the people because of him. I was on radio coast to coast in the 1980s, and one of the radio stations was in Washington, D.C. A church in Baltimore pastor invited me to come to the dedication. Oh, this is awful. Dedication of his new church building. They were always asking me to come and dedicate their new church building. I didn't have enough sense to turn them down at that time. Now I do. We are the church. The building is the place where we meet. So I went to Baltimore and spoke to his congregation at their new church building. Within a matter of minutes, half of them became angry with me. At least half of them. And then I spoke more, and others became angry. And then others became angry. I was speaking the word that I heard. The word brings division. About half of those people left that church. This is awful. Anyway, the word brings division. Hebrews 4:12-13. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. My dad had always favored me, and my mother was usually the problem. But after I was born again, and after God put me into the ministry, my dad told my mother, Joan's gone overboard on this religion thing. And my mother spoke up and said, no, she's all right. Before he died, my dad was born again. Before my mother died, she was born again. They had never been church people. My dad was a mechanic, and he said the greatest problem he had in doing his work as a mechanic was with church people. They were harder to work with than the other people. But he genuinely was born again before he died. I told that to a Baptist friend of mine once, and she kind of looked like, I don't know about this. And I said, do you know what the first thing that happened to him was after he was born again? He wanted to go to church. I didn't live where he lived, but he would write me and say, if you will come and visit me, we can go to church. And he went to church, a little church. Turned out it was an extremely corrupt church, but we didn't know that at the time. But he wanted to go to church. That's what happened to me after I was born again. I wanted to go to church. That's the typical sign of being born again. You want to read the Bible, you want to know about God, you want to go to church. Hebrews 4:12-13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I'm reminded of something by the Holy Spirit, and I learned when the Holy Spirit reminds me of an example to share it. This happened at the grocery store. It was a Sunday, and I had gone to pick up something and was waiting in line. There was one woman in front of me checking out, and she was rebuking the cashier for working on a Sunday. Evidently, they went to the same church. And she was just saying, "I can't believe you're here working on a Sunday." The cashier said, "Well, they needed me. Somebody was sick and they really needed me." And she said, "I just can't believe you would do this, that you're working on a Sunday." I listened to them for a few minutes. And then I spoke up. I said to this woman who was rebuking the cashier, "Well, I can't believe you're here buying groceries on a Sunday. If you want to live by Old Testament law, you couldn't even leave your tent to pick food out of your garden on a Sunday, on a Sabbath. If you want to live by Old Testament Sabbath, you can't be turning on your TV and watching secular things, reading secular books, going to the grocery store, if you want to live by Old Testament Sabbath laws. You must do all of that the day before." She shut up. Cashier shut up. She left as quickly as possible without saying another word, and I checked out and left the building. But that's the Old Testament law about the Sabbath. You can't work on the Sabbath and go to the grocery store and things like that if you think you're going to follow Old Testament law. So what is the Sabbath? Well, we're told what it is, really, in Hebrews 4. We'll look at that. The New Testament church does not live by Old Testament law. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. "Let us therefore fear lest they promise, being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he has said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And again, if they shall enter into my rest." What is the Sabbath? It's every day. Because we believe God and we rest in what he has said to us. And verse 6 says, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Again, he limited a certain day, saying, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice," God's voice, "harden not your hearts." For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." When we live in the New Testament church, we enter into the rest of God each time God gives us a solution to the situation, and we cease from our own works and do what he says. That is the Sabbath of the New Testament church, doing what God says. When we believe God, we enter in, doing what God says. When I fell at my house in Texas in the year 2018, they were taking me to the hospital, and they rolled me past the front door of that house in Texas. And I heard a word from God by the Holy Spirit. He said to me, "You'll never see this house again." One of the things the Holy Spirit does, says Jesus, John chapter 16, verse 13, he shows us things to come. And at that point, God chose to show me that I would never see that house again. I put the house up for sale from a hospital. One of our church people said to me, "I don't see how you can do this, sell your house like this. I don't see how you can do it." I said, but I heard from God I would never see this house again. When you believe what God has said to you, you cease from your own works and you do that which is appropriate to what God has said. And that is our Sabbath, ceasing from our own works. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Verse 11, "Let us labor therefore," and it is a labor to believe. "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." I have heard people tell that they had a dream showing one thing, but they didn't believe it. And the next thing you knew, they were praying for that thing to happen that they were shown in the dream would happen. Their unbelief keeps them from entering into rest on the subject. If you really believe what God has said, you don't confess the other that's opposite. That's devil's working in you. There's a woman that was shown that her unsaved husband was reading the Bible. But she continued to think a man that intelligent couldn't be saved, because he was very intelligent. But that's not what God showed her. She should focus on what God showed her. Just recently, I heard another woman who did the same thing. She was shown in a dream what her husband was going to do, but she was confessing the opposite about him. Confess what God has said to you in the dream. Confess what He has said instead of showing your doubt with your words. Confess what God has said. There's a woman I went to high school with, and she attends a Methodist church. She asked me not to send her any more writings. Another woman that I went to high school with, a Baptist woman, said, "Isn't she a Christian?" And I said, "Well, I don't know about that. All I know is God gave me a dream showing me that she was reading the Bible. And I'm not concerned about her, even though she didn't want to hear what I had to say. I'm not concerned about her." And I heard another word over this woman. Sardis was a very bad church. It's in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus speaks of it. But He says, even in Sardis, as bad as it was, some are worthy. There are many, many, many churches today that are terrible. They're Antichrist churches, really, have turned away from Scripture, many Scriptures, and they just don't follow Scriptures anymore. They don't teach them in those churches. Usually, the old-time followers will say, "I don't want to go to church because it's weak as water anymore." Well, what they're really hearing is that they've changed the doctrine. That's Antichrist, the falling away, the apostasy of the end time. But that doesn't mean everybody is damned. I know that in Sardis, it was a bad church. But even in Sardis, some were worthy. The Word of God brings division. One time, when I owned my small business just after I was born again, I had three women who worked for me. And we had an incident in the shop where a dispute with a young woman occurred between me and her. One of our saleswomen witnessed it. This young woman ended up pushing me all the way to the back of the store. This woman took me to court. I know she thought she could get money from me. I heard a word from God. Don't testify. Please don't think that that means never testify at any trial. That was a word given to me, personally, on that one lawsuit case. So I called my lawyer and I said, "You may not want to represent me on this court situation, because I am a Christian and I believe I've heard from God. Don't testify at this court case." He said, "Oh no, we'll represent you." The woman who worked for me, who witnessed it, the lawyer said, "Flo's testimony will be enough to get you acquitted." Well, Flo didn't see it that way. When she heard I was not testifying, she was angry with me. And she came to me and said, "Now the burden is on me, since you're not going to testify." And I said, but what can I do? I have heard, I believe, from God, don't testify. She was not appeased by that. She was still angry with me. The man I was dating at the time said, "Joan, you're not doing this girl any good by not testifying." And I said, "I'm not trying to do her any good. I'm trying to obey God. And I believe He has told me, don't testify. Well, Bob didn't believe me at all. And as far as I know, no one on my own side believed me, and almost all of them were mad at me. I didn't expect that. I was saying what God said. Well, I was going to see many, many times when I said to the church what God said, they got mad at me. I thought they would rejoice at what God has said. They're supposed to be Christians. Well, that's what I found. Over and over and over, what I told them that God had said brought division between them and me. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says will happen. John 10:19, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. In Luke 12:51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? Jesus says, I tell you, nay, but rather division. The Word of God divides us from the unbelievers. And there are plenty of unbelievers in churches. They say they're Christians, but they don't believe the Bible. John 9:16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man, Jesus, is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles as he does? And there was a division among them over Jesus the Word. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. The Word of God brings division between us and the unbeliever. Thank you for allowing me to share with you today.